Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our study through the book of 1 Corinthians as we continue through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Why did he make himself a servant? Matter of fact, when it says unto all, it wasn't just a few. We'll find out it was Jews and Gentiles, the saved and the lost, whoever it was. He was there to minister to whoever, unto all. Why did he do that? Well, he answered that I might gain the more. Literally, Paul was free to do what he wanted, but bringing people to Christ was more important to him than using his freedom and his liberty selfishly. In other words, there's nothing more important than bringing people to Christ. Even if it's somehow we lose our rights or privileges, you know, everybody wants their rights, and you hear it all the time, you know. Well, in Christ Jesus, we do have rights and liberty, but we're not to flaunt them. And yet we're not to cause people to stumble. But I want you to now notice, before we get any farther, Paul's methods of ministry. We're going to see this in verse number 20, 21, 22. He was not a compromiser, but here is his method that he used. And Paul, I guess, is one of the greatest missionaries the world's ever known. And this is how he used to, this is how he worked. He said this: Paul's methods was to become all things to all men in order to bring them to the Lord. It is not of a case of being hypocritical one thing to one man and something else to another. It meant to meet them where they are, to come along beside them. And then somebody wrote this, and I wanted to quote the author who wrote this. This is a quote from, "The man who can never see anything but his own point of view and never attempts to understand the heart and the mind of others will never make a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, a soul winner, or even a friend." Let me repeat that. That went over some of y'all's head. Okay, it's kind of a long quote. The man who can never see anything but his own point of view. I'm right. I'm always, any of y'all like that, don't raise your hand. I was wrong once. I thought I was wrong. That way or how you would say that, you know. Anyway, the man who can never see anything but his own point of view and who never attempts to understand the heart and the mind of others. The Indians, you say something about walking another mile in their moccasins or something of that nature. You don't know where they come from, where they've been, the situation they've encountered. We all have different. I told somebody this past week, we all have a story. I could go down. Every one of us have a different story of where we've come from, how life has impacted us, whatever it is. Anyway, to understand the heart and the mind of the point of view and never attempt to understand the heart and mind of others will never make a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, a soul winner, or even a friend, because I'm always right. And you need to come over here. Are you following? And this is what Paul is, this is his method of ministry. As we look at it in verse number 20 and 21, to the Jew, I became as a Jew. To the Gentiles, I became as a Gentile. Look in verse number 20. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew. Now, first of all, notice Paul said, as a Jew. He did not say, I became a Jew, because he was already a Jew. Remember? But he became as a Jew. He could relate to them. He knew all about their customs. He knew all about their feasts. He knew all about them. So to the Jew, I became as a Jew. In other words, even though he was not under the Mosaic law anymore, he was in Christ under grace and not the law. Romans 6:14, Paul wrote these words, "For ye are not under law, but under grace." Even though Jewish people still lived under that Mosaic law, he understood that. So when he was in with the Jewish people, he understood about their feast. He understood, and we're going to look at a couple examples in just a minute, of how he adapted himself, even though he's an apostle, to some of their traditions. We're going to give you two examples in just a minute about how Paul, even though he didn't have to do it to accommodate the Jewish people, he didn't compromise, but that way he could minister to the Jews in that situation. Anyway, Romans 10:4 said this, "For Christ is the end of law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." So Paul knew there's a difference between law and grace. And months ago, I read something, and we have some new folk here that hadn't heard this before. And it's nothing that I wrote. I added a couple of things to this about the law and grace, the difference between law and grace. How many of y'all remember me reading this months ago? That's what I thought, three or four of you. Okay, so I'm going to read it again. Remember, I was talking to a preacher this past week, and he was talking about preaching something. And I said, well, just preach what you preached last week, because he was trying to get a message together. I said, because they won't remember what you preached Sunday, so preach it again. The difference between law and grace. The law prohibits the approach to God. Remember in Exodus, God was giving Moses the law on Mount Sinai, and he said, don't let people come to this mountain. If they do, well, I kill them. Remember? They can't, even the animals. Anyway, the law prohibits the approach to God. But grace invites the approach to God. Law condemns the sinner. Grace redeems the sinner. The law says, do this and live. Grace says, it's done. Law says, try. Grace says, it's finished. The law curses the sinner. Grace blesses the believer. The law slays the sinner. How many of y'all been doing your devotions? If you're in the book of Leviticus and all, it talks about all these sacrifices and other things that if you do this, you're going to die. Okay, that's what the law does. It slays the sinner, but grace, it saves the sinner. The law shuts every mouth. Grace opens every mouth in praise. Law condemns the best man, but grace saves the worst man. Amen. Law says, pay what you owe. Grace says, it's paid in full. The law says, the wages of sin is death, but grace says, the gift of God is eternal life. Law says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But grace says, believe and live. Law reveals man's sin. Grace atones for man's sin. The law gives knowledge of sin. Grace provides redemption from sin. The law was given by Moses. Grace comes through Jesus Christ. The law demands obedience. Obey, obey. But grace gives the power to obey. The law is written on stone, remember? Grace is written on our hearts. Law is done away in Christ. Grace abides forever. The law puts man under bondage, but grace sets a soul at liberty. Law brings fear, and I guess so, man. Again, I just read in Exodus, I've been going to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and I'm going through it, also in Matthew. Anyway, those folk were scared to death. Moses come off that mountain. He was doing that Shekinah glory. They had to cover him up because the presence of God was upon him. But yet the people were afraid. They're afraid to move. Law brings fear, but grace brings peace. And these are the two I wrote, added to it. Under the law, the sheep dies for the shepherd. Under grace, the shepherd dies for the sheep. What a difference. And under law, man brought the sacrifice to God. Remember? Man brought the sacrifice to God. But under grace, God brought the sacrifice to man.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.